Hi, happy official summer. It finally feels like the season has arrived. I don't know about you, but it just hasn't felt like it was summer yet. And then Bella is officially off school. She's home. She's actually at our neighbor's house right now, playing with their little water table and their daughter. So she's on a play date. I have time to do this podcast and we're going to get right into it. Thank you so much for being here and supporting Live Beautifully and being part of this with me. I love you. I apologize if you hear any noises in the background. We have some people here helping us fix the walls because our washer completely flooded. And when I tell you, it came 2 inches from leaking on my podcast equipment. We would be just down for the summer. It's been crazy here, but they had to rip everything out and they're building back in. So hopefully I can get through this before it gets too noisy over here. But today we have a very, very special guest. Her name is Deja Riley. Many of you know her and follow her. She is incredible. She came over and we discussed so many important topics. We talk about everything from career, marriage, fertility, and it's a really, really great conversation. I think that you'll love it. If you haven't seen her before, Deja is a wife, sister, creative, mover, and motivator. She began her career as a dancer, performing with women like Britney Spears, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, J-Lo, and Beyonce. Her career has now evolved into being her own superstar, a fitness trainer, a podcast host, and community leader. It was such a joy to sit down with her at my dining room table, and she is the definition of life, energy, vibrance, and determination. You are going to feel so motivated and uplifted after this episode. You're going to love it. Okay, let's bring her on. I am so overjoyed and grateful and already so fulfilled that you're here. For anyone that has never been introduced to you, I would love for you to share about yourself and your story.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so happy that I'm here with you. And you've just been such a huge inspiration in many ways to me. Mm-hmm. So thank you for inviting me to sit here and live beautifully with you.
Here we go.
So I think first and foremost, I mean, I am a wife, a sister, a daughter, a friend. I love to introduce myself energetically. So I like to say, I am love, I am joy, I am enough, I am a source of light, I am a beacon of hope, I am a motivator, a source of inspiration. And then all the worldly titles come after that. Currently a Lululemon ambassador. I love what I do so much. And I just love leading people to happier and healthier lives. That is what my mission is. And I currently am now hosting my own podcast called Dose of Duality.
I listened to your episode this morning, I Am Love.
Yes.
Now that you just introduced yourself as I Am Love. And it was so beautiful. And I was doing my makeup and I did the meditation too. And I was like, there should be like makeup meditation.
Yes, I love that.
It was so nice. Yeah. I don't know if I did a good job or if I was like totally so, like too much blush, like I am love. It was really, really nice. But your podcast is so beautiful and I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
So I'd love for you to share too, you know, a little bit where you grew up too, because we just started talking about like the differences between LA and New York.
Yeah.
I'd love to share a little bit about what we were saying because it's so true. And I was just in New York. So yeah, where'd you grow up and a little bit about your family?
Yeah. So I was born in New York, Westchester, New York. And I was raised in Virginia Beach, Virginia. So I'm an East Coast girl at heart. But we met while I was living out here for 13 years in LA.
Wild.
And I know. It feels like it was so long ago, but it actually was just like I left during the pandemic. So like a little under 3 years ago.
Wow.
But I'm living in New York again, mm-hmm. and I love it. The city just lights me on fire. I feel like we were like talking a little bit about like what schedules are like there versus what they're like here.
There's a grind. There's a different grind, but you say yes. In both places, but in New York, it's that day.
Oh, yeah. It's a hard commitment, like, right now.
Yeah. And then in LA, you're like, sure, maybe, like, in a couple months. It could be a beach day, might be there, might not. But it ends up happening eventually.
Yeah.
But New York, you're like, okay, let's do it at 4.
Yeah.
But I got to be out of there by 5.
Yeah, hard out. Everyone has a hard out in New York. It's like, and everyone's always on the move, which I love.
I love it. I love the energy.
Yeah, same. I'm very inspired by it.
It's so good. And it's an East Coast mentality. Like, I came here from the East Coast and I was like, whoa. Like I was saying, even I personal training appointments, I was back to back to back appointments. And then coming here, someone would say like, oh yeah, I can do probably, you know, Tuesday. I'm like, what do you mean probably Tuesday? I'm like, okay, what time works for you? And they're like, around noon. I'm like, I need to know when you can personal train because I'm coming to you. Like I was doing home appointments. It was hilarious. But I love it because it's a little more relaxed for my East Coast hustle.
Yeah.
I say I'm like recovering from hustle culture.
Yeah.
But I love the hustle and I love the grind, but I'm recovering a little bit.
Yeah. I feel that. I feel like now being in New York, like in my 30s, going into late 30s now, which is amazing. I love aging, by the way. But I think that going there during that time has really like given me a sense of balance because like the grind wasn't as fast here. It wasn't as fast paced. And like you said, a little bit more like fluid and laid back, chill. And so I mix a little bit of that with like the New York grind and hustle. And I feel like I've got like an even balance of them both.
They probably think you're so relaxed.
I bet you people do think I'm like pretty chill, which I'm happy to be. Like that's what I want to be. But yeah, I think California gives you a dose of that for sure. Mm-hmm.
For example, my suitcase is still kind of unpacked downstairs. Like it's like overflowing still. But when you get there, you unpack, you put everything away.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And then you're out for like a meeting right when you land.
Yes.
Like you've landed, you've checked in, you're out in the streets. Yep. Yeah. That's the way it goes.
So what got you into the fitness world?
So I was a professional dancer first and I moved out to California to pursue my dance dreams. I was a dancer since the age of 3, classically trained in ballet, jazz, tap, lyrical, flamenco, you name the style of dance, I've probably tried it. And around like 18, 19, I moved out to California and started pursuing a career in dance. And I was really, really blessed to have some incredible opportunities. I've danced for artists such as Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Nicki Minaj, the list goes on, and worked with some incredible choreographers along the way. And I got towards like the end of my career. I would say this was like maybe about 8 years in, 8 or 9 years in. And I started to notice that my mental health was suffering, that I had become so conditioned to rejection. And I had, in a sense, like lost a lot of love for myself. And I wasn't necessarily taking care of myself the way that I should have been, even physically. I mean, you know, dancers are in impeccable shape. But at the same time, like I was, you know, oftentimes grinding. And I know, I hear, is that Winston? Oh my gosh, it's so cute though.
If you hear background noise, it's Winston snoring on the table. We're having a serious conversation over here, Winston. Don't do this to us. She said that he's like our in-house therapy dog, so when things get hard, you can have him snore on your lap. I know you're looking at me.
He knows you're talking about him too. So yeah, so you know, I noticed that my mental health was suffering and I was like, that's non-negotiable. I was getting like towards the end of my 20s and I was just like exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally. And I decided that I was going to make a pivot and I didn't know into what. I was just like, I think I'm done with the dance industry. I've accomplished much of what I've wanted to and it's time to move on and make a transition. And I just took a leap of faith into the unknown. and ultimately landed in the fitness industry because it was a way to still like feed the physical impulses in my body. And I really, honestly, there were just so many people that were like doing this for the betterment of themselves, whether it was like mind, body, and spirit or all three. And I was so inspired by that and so motivated by that, that I was like, I want to be a part of that.
So you chose you.
Yeah, I did.
Can't get rejected if you choose you.
That's true.
How did you say, okay, I'm actually going to reinvent myself?
You know, at the moment, I didn't even look at it as reinvention. I really honestly was pouring into myself and I looked at it as more of an investment. I was like, I'm going to get stronger mentally, physically, emotionally through, you know, this experience. And so for me, like I actually didn't go into it thinking I want to be a fitness instructor. I really had no sense of direction. I really honestly was really just thinking about myself and my soul. And so for me, like when I stepped into it with such pure intentions because I wasn't chasing after a specific dream in the same way that I was with my dance career. When I stepped into the dance world, I definitely had very specific goals and I was going after them and I was, you know, writing them down and manifesting things. And for this, like, I was really just trying to manifest a healthier me. And I wanted to look in the mirror and love the person that I was looking at. And I didn't want, you know, to constantly be picking myself apart. And that's what I was doing in dance. So yeah, I definitely went into it without like this sense of like, oh, I'm going to transform my career, but like I'm going to transform my life. I don't do very well with like hate comments or like anybody like, you know, judging me or criticizing me. I have a hard time with that because I'm very sensitive. And I think, you know, even during this current journey that I'm on, I do get a lot of comments where people just have some very harsh things to say. And it hurts. And I think like even during that transition where I moved from dance to fitness, when I was hearing those things, I just had to let my voice be louder. I just had to continue to affirm myself in those moments. And I had to keep talking to myself so that my voice wouldn't be drowned out by all of those different voices that were coming at me. And so, you know, there were people that told me stick to dance, you know, or there were people that were like, oh yeah, this is just, you know, a fluke or a side job that you're doing, you know? And for me, I wasn't looking at it like that. I wasn't even like, this is a passion project. Although I became very passionate about health and wellness, I was really like on this mission to just become better, like from the inside out. And so like, that's what I had to stay focused on. And I'm so much better for it and so much happier now.
I think when you go through transformation, then you're a lot less judgmental of someone else. So if you see someone going through change, you can say, wow, I know that that must have been the best thing for them. But it takes having to go through, I think, transformation and change to recognize that in other people and go, I see you.
Yeah.
And I see why you did that.
Yeah.
And then having a lot more compassion. And so that's something that if you haven't experienced radical change in your life, just kind of taking a step back and giving people the benefit of the doubt that they've done something that's best for them,
yeah,
their health, or maybe their family.
Yeah.
When did you get married?
I got married in 2018. Yay. Yeah.
So where'd you guys get married?
We got married in Malibu. We met in Malibu. Uh-huh. Sorry, I'm misspeaking.
I was like,
we got married in Malibu. No, we didn't. We met in Malibu. Uh-huh. He proposed to me in Malibu, and then we got married in Vegas.
Like at the chapel?
No. We had like a full-blown wedding. We had a full-blown wedding. So one of our family friends has like this like massive home in Vegas and like football field of a backyard. And so we got to create our dream wedding. Aww. In his backyard. It
I
was
just
amazing.
Pictured you at the Elvis Chapel. Oh my chapel God, real quick. Imagine?
Yes. I would also like, wow. Would be so fun.
I feel like if I had like a big Vegas wedding, I would still want to go to that chapel. Just yeah. For fun. You guys should do that at like your 10 like, year.
Yeah. Honestly, like 5 year.
Yes.
Coming up closer. Yes. Yeah.
And then you've been really open about your fertility journey. You and I also shared that it's not necessarily like something that we want to open up about, but it makes everyone feel less alone.
Yeah.
What prompted you the first time ever being like, I'm going to actually share this?
Well, honestly, I had just like started posting on TikTok, and the majority of my videos were of me and my husband dancing. If anyone's ever watched us on social media, it's our favorite thing to do together.
It's adorable.
It's really fun. It's really fun. We actually started dancing together during the pandemic, just like as a way to like have fun with each other and like enjoy each other. We've always danced together, but for us, it was more of like an intimate thing that we did. And then we wanted to just like cheer people up during the pandemic. So we started doing little choreographed dances together and like dressing up. Like,
guys, they're adorable.
Thank you. Thank you. So we started sharing that on TikTok. And then I actually fell down this like rabbit hole on TikTok of like watching just like people's videos where they're just sharing authentic pieces of their lives. And I just like started feeling very connected to people's stories. And then I like was going back and forth, like kind of looking at like my social media, like brushing through all the things. And I'm like, I have been going through, at the point that I actually started posting, I had already been going through my fertility journey for like a little over a year, like a year and a half, it was like. And honestly, I had just kind of been suffering in the dark. Like, I wasn't really sharing that. I was putting on a smile. I was going to work. I was, you know, educating people and inspiring people through my smile. But like, no one actually saw all the tears that I was, you know, crying in the dark and like behind closed doors. And just, you know, there were moments where like I would be bawling my eyes out, and then I put makeup on and I go on camera and I, you know, teach a solid workout, and then I've go back and cry. Yeah.
So many times.
It's, you know, it's like, it's such a human thing to do, to have this range of emotions, but it is a very brave thing to share, and it is a hard thing to share. And I just was like looking back at my social media, and I realized that it was just like this highlight reel of joy. And for so many people, like, they appreciate the optimistic eyes that I see life through. Like, that lens is so beautiful to other people and inspiring to other people. But I would always get the question of like, how are you always so joyous? How are you always so happy and so grateful all the time? And honestly, my answer to that was the hardships that I go through behind closed doors make me that much more grateful for the joy that I get to experience in my everyday life. And I found it really hard to continue to like say that to people without showing them any of what I've experienced and any of, you know, the trials and tribulations that I had gone through. And so I was like really nervous about doing it, but I thought maybe there's like a creative way that I can like kind of share my story. And so like I started editing this TikTok. I think I probably was editing it for about 2 weeks, and I just was like hesitant to post it, and like would go back and then like change a couple things, and then I'm like, well, maybe it needs to start with a picture of me smiling, because like I'm like,
they'll be like, what's wrong?
Yeah, right. I'm like, I'm just so nervous, like, you know, the majority of my community has never seen me like angry, sad, or like any of what people would consider like those negative emotions. They usually only see me just like radiating with just so much joy and happiness. And I was like, oh, that's a part of my truth, but it's not my truth in its entirety. And so I was like, okay, I just need to rip the Band-Aid off. I just need to do this. So like posted it really fast and then like turned my phone off. And I was like, I'm just going to like walk away from it and just let it sit there. And oh my goodness, like the video like went somewhat viral for my account at that point. It was like, oh wow, this is like really blowing up. And I really didn't have very much of a following before that on TikTok, but there were so many people that were just like relating to my journey and thanking me for sharing. And I was like, okay, I'm going to continue to be brave. I'm going to continue to share. And, you know, from that point forward, which was just fall of last year, I was like, okay, I'm going to share as much as I feel like I can, as much as I have the capacity to, and, you know, see where it goes. And so I've been sharing a little bit of like what I've been going through ever since.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. What do you think was the hardest part that you weren't expecting when you're like, okay, when you had your miscarriage, that was probably the hardest part. But from then on, what do you think the hardest part through that entire journey was that you were like, wow, I did not expect my life to go this way?
It's a really good question. I have to say the hardest part was the wedge that was driven into my marriage. And like not feeling as deeply connected with my partner and feeling that sense of like romance and intimacy that we were so used to, that was so natural for us. I think that, you know, some of the struggles that we faced along the way, like my miscarriage, like my chemical pregnancy, and also all of the fertility treatments and procedures that I had to go through, were really hard on my body, and were mentally really hard to face. But I think emotionally, the hardest part, and I'm always like, I'm always so tied to what tugs on my heartstrings, and like, my marriage is the most important thing in my world. And so to just watch that slowly starting to crumble and fall apart, like that was really, really difficult.
Was there a moment that you're like, I need to focus on him and us?
Yeah.
What was that moment?
I think right after we went for that retrieval for our IVF, and I just like, honestly, I was just like pushing through. Like we at that point had already been through 4 IUIs, somewhat back to back. I think the longest break we would have taken was like a month, but like almost everything after that was like back to back. My hysteroscopy was there like in the middle of
the worst.
It just is awful.
And, like, and then they pump you up on estrogen after, yeah, and they're like, here, feel better.
Right. This is the remedy. But yeah, like that was all so hard, and it was just coming at me like back to back to back. But I think once my body went through, you know, all of those chunks of like stems that I was doing, and like I think I had like 23 injections in like 10 days time. Like I remember seeing you post about like doing your injections. And
I
like,
still have bruises.
Do you really?
Yes. They're like permanent. Like, I think that they just changed my anatomy.
Oh, my God.
I know. I just saw the other day. I'm like, how is that still there?
Yeah.
It's like, it is really like trauma of your body, tissue, and heart and mind.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And I'm sorry that you also had to go through that. I think, you know, one of the things that we were talking about before we started our conversation today was essentially like having somewhat of survivor's guilt. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, I'm not the interviewer here, but like, I just kind of want to ask you like how you navigated that.
Still.
Yeah.
I shared before we started recording that someone said something to me the other day too, that I was like, wow, you know, she said, well, I, you know, I'd love to talk to you about that, but you don't struggle with that. And just because you bring life into this world doesn't take away from the loss that never came to be. And so I have days where I think about our loss. I think of day, sometimes I'll like look up in the sky and I'll literally see the outline of a baby in the clouds. My sister-in-law actually sent me a picture. It looked like a little ultrasound picture in the clouds. So I always look up. Yeah. And I think if you always just keep your head up, you'll see signs. And people will say the darnest things, but kind of like what we said before, if they haven't been through it, it's okay. Yeah. And yeah, I'm still going through it. Because now once you have your family, then it's like, well, why should you be sad anymore? But it doesn't take away from the pain that happened. I think now I like connecting with women, especially ones that reach out that are going through it, to give them hope. Yeah. And so saying that there is a way, there are many ways that you can grow your family, and to give some kind of light. Because sometimes when you're in the dark, you want to see happy endings.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Yeah.
but I was looking for the happy endings, or happy beginnings, I should say, when I was in it, because I wanted to see that what was possible. Sometimes if you don't even want to see what's possible, you can kind of just stay there.
Yeah.
Well, you shared something with me. Do you want to share?
Yeah. Well, I asked you that because I'm pregnant now. And yeah, I'm like, I want to be like so joyful about it, but I'm also like, I'm also in this place of feeling really bad that it happened for me now, you know? Mm-hmm. I so deeply have wanted to bring hope through my journey. And I feel like even as I was like sharing, I was like, I was also getting like so sick of like being in this whirlwind of like all of just the darkness and like the sadness, all of the stuff that's like, gosh, I don't want anyone to go through this. Like, I know that there are other women going through this and I don't wish this on anyone. Mm-hmm. And so like, for so long, I was much like you and like reaching for that hope and looking for that hope in other people. I think that as I have now gotten to this point in my journey, I'm like, I want to continue to be able to hold on to the joy and the happy parts of this. And this is so exciting. And like, both my husband and I have been saying to each other, we're so happy and so excited. We have to keep saying it out loud, because also part of us, part of each of us is like wanting to stay attached yet detached from the outcome, knowing, you know, what is possible through our own experience. And so, yeah, it's just like, I feel like I just said so many things all at once, because like that's actually what it feels like too. It's like this whole just modge podge of all these different things that you're feeling for others and for yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's hard.
I'm so happy for you. Thank you. I'm in tears. I want you to enjoy these moments, because I know we stop ourselves from feeling joy. And you've said on your show, like, I am joy. You can feel joy and feel sadness all at the same time.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay.
We need tissues. I know. Where's our therapy doc?
Wednesday, where are you? Where we need you.
I know what you mean, where, you know, you can only stay in that dark place so long before you need your light.
Yeah.
And when you go into this next chapter, there is a sense of survivor's guilt that you will feel. And the way that you share and the way that you move through space and the way that you connect with women will be so much more intentional. And you will look back and go, wow, not that any of this ever makes sense. I'm always like, oh, the tough times, like that makes sense.
Yeah.
Losing a baby never makes sense.
No, ever. I will never be able to make sense of it.
But you can make hope from it. You can create love from it.
Yeah.
And you can connect with others. One of my girlfriends just had a miscarriage, and you know, she reached out to me, and you start to become a person that people can go to, and that can actually fill up your cup a little bit of, okay, I can help the way that I'm surviving this can be someone else's survival guide.
Yeah.
I mean, you will, with love, there's also loss. You'll lose people.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Because you're creating a little people.
I know. I'm like, oh my gosh. I know.
How did you find out?
So I was like really late on my cycle, but because I don't know if this, did you go straight into having a transfer after your retrieval?
No, when you were talking about having to take a break.
Yeah.
Brian, I think Brian needed the break more than me.
Listen, but, our partners too.
Yeah.
And I know you and Brian have talked about it, and like.
Because everything's just back to back to back.
Yeah.
And we were sitting at a stoplight. We were visiting Arizona, and I had just had the like polyps removed, you know, pumped up on hormones, and I just started bawling my eyes out. And then he was like, oh God, like, are you okay? I was like, I don't think I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, I need, my body needs a break.
Yeah.
And so we didn't go straight in.
Okay. So I'm sure you had something similar, but like your cycle's thrown off then. Mm-hmm. So like my first one came 19 days later, and I'm normally like clockwork, 26 day cycle. It just comes right.
You like feel it.
Yep. Feel it. It's almost like it's like down to like on the hour. And so the first one came at 19 days. So I was like, okay, like that was a little strange. And then my next cycle came at like 31 days. And so like I thought, okay, that's super strange. It's really, really far apart. And so I just thought I was getting another late cycle because I only had those two cycles after my retrieval before I actually ended up getting pregnant. And like I was like, okay, like, you know, 30 days, 31 days, 32 days. And then I was like, I don't know. And like, I was hesitant. So my husband was on a solo trip and I was hesitant to take. So,
like, he's out of the picture?
No. He was.
How long was that trip?
So he was there for the actual conception. But he went on.
Good job too, because like having sex through all of this stuff is like tough.
I know.
So good going.
You know, we took a trip upstate. I don't know if you've ever been to the Adirondacks. It's beautiful and it's so quiet. And there was like snow on the mountains. We stayed in a little yurt. Mm-hmm. I believe that is probably where we actually conceived. Because we were away. We were just having the best time. But it was like after we had decided to go on that break and we were just like, we need to do more things together. Like we always travel together. We love to just explore. We love hiking together. And we like weren't doing any of those things because we were like on a schedule and like very clearly like had a goal and a mission to accomplish. And that was like the focus. And so, yeah, so he was on a solo trip when I was like late for my cycle. And so I was like talking to him on the phone, but I was like, yeah, like it seems like it's like kind of stretched out. So maybe I'm going to be on like these 30 some day cycles or something. Maybe my body's just going to be off for a little while and then it'll get back to its regular rhythm. And so then like it was like 32, 33, 34. And so I was like, all right, well, I could take a pregnancy test, but I was really afraid of the disappointment.
But don't you feel crazy taking a pregnancy test?
Yes.
When I would take one, I'm like, what am I doing?
Yes, yes. You're like already, like, I think I was like mentally telling myself, like, you can't do this on your own. So like, there's no way. Like, you guys aren't doing treatments right now. There's, it's not possible.
I ordered one on Instacart. I was looking at the person's like profile picture being like, I know you're doing this for nothing, but I just need this just in case.
Yeah. So like, I have pregnancy tests underneath my sink. But I was like, I don't want to take this while he's not here. And then like, I was talking to some of my girlfriends and they were like, we'll come over. And like, and I was like, yeah, but then you'll go home and then I'll be here with whatever the answer is. So maybe I should just wait until he comes home. So he came home and I had a work trip.
How many days later?
This was like, now we're like at 35, 36 days. Oh yeah. Yeah. I waited. And so like, I just thought like, it's just going to come. It's going to come. And I actually felt like my uterus felt like it was like,
yes,
at any moment, the flow was just going to begin. So like I had no doubt in my mind that it was coming. Then my boobs were feeling sore and like I was feeling all the symptoms that I feel right before I get my cycle. So I'm like, and then nothing else. Like I wasn't having additional symptoms. So it was just like the typical symptoms that I get before I get my period. So then he came home and I was like, I still haven't got my cycle. And he was like, did you take a test? And I was like, I didn't want to take it without you. And he's like, all right, well, do you want to take a test now? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, let's just wait. And then he's like, all right, well, if you feel like, you know, you want to take a test, like we can do it together. Let's do it together. Like he was so relaxed about it. If anybody knows my husband, they know he is like the most chill guy. Like he is just, nothing rattles his feathers. And so I was like, okay, I'll wait it out for like until I feel like I'm supposed to take it. And I think I was just so nervous that it was going to be like negative and I was just going to crumble and have a breakdown, because at this point I'm actually hoping that it's positive and I'm like actually holding out, like thinking this could be like, this could be it. Like this could be like my rainbow baby, my miracle, like right now. But I'm also like, but I don't want something to tell me that it's not. So I was like, let me just wait for the natural thing to happen. And then, you know, it'll just be like normal. And I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. I take the pregnancy test out, and I just put it on the sink. And then I go back to bed. But then like 2 hours later, I get up to go to the bathroom again. And I'm like, that's not really like me. And plus, I didn't really drink that much. Like I had like a couple sips of my water and then laid back down to go to bed. So now it's like 5 a.m. and I was like, all right, I'm going to take it. And I took it and I literally just stared at the test and then like watched it go across, and then I didn't see anything. So I just walked out of the bathroom and I like sat on my bed for a second. I'm like, I'm clearly not going back to bed. Walk back into the bathroom and there's two pink lines. And I'm like, and so, like, I went and I, like, tapped him on the shoulder.
Tapped
him. Because it's, like, 5 in the morning.
Excuse
and I'm like,
me.
Hi.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Hello. And then he, like, he's a light sleeper. So he just, like, opens his eyes, like, slowly. And I, like, turn the test towards him. And I have, like, big bulging eyes. And he, like, looks at me and he goes, congratulations. And puts his arms out. And I go, I didn't do this by myself. And we just burst into laughter. I was like, but you did this too. Like, congratulations to us both.
Aww.
And he just like held me. And then I psyched myself out. And I was like, I need to take another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if it's real. And so I took a digital one after that. And yeah. Flashed yes.
Aww. Isn't it so funny how they like project a little bit like, yeah. Oh, congratulations to you. Yeah.
I'm like, well, this thing inside of me is ours. So
yeah.
you're locked in for as long as I am.
Yeah, you're on daddy duty. Kind of like the phone call I just made to Brian, like, hello. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Have you shared to anyone in your life? Like, what has that been like for you?
Well, I told my baby sister first because she's my best friend. And then we shared it with our parents. And we've just been slowly sharing with like close friends and family and just, you know, trying to protect the energy around this new little being.
Happy so many prayers.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. You know, I'm just like taking my time. It hasn't felt quite right to like make a big announcement just yet. And I also do want to be very mindful of how I go about doing that. Part of like what I was saying before now is like, I feel like there will be many people rejoicing with me, but there may be some people that are still like sitting in that sadness and that heaviness of like their own experiences. And I want to be just considerate of them as well, you know.
And you can honor them in so many different ways.
Yeah.
You know, even specific messages that are for them. Creating videos that are for them where you've been there. You say, hey, this is how I felt when I heard news, yeah. And this is how I understand, and I've been there. And just, you know, you do it already. Like, your heart is literally out for everybody. And so I think that is the hard part, is being so, so vulnerable, is, you know, you want to make sure that everyone is happy.
Yeah.
But even if they aren't, it's okay too.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to talk about the name of your podcast.
Yes.
Because that was something that I really loved hearing, how you came up with that and how it even just hearing that you would like cry and then, you know, put your makeup on and like teach a workout. Like, we've been there.
Yeah.
It's, we've all done that, right? Like, we've all cried and then gone to a meeting. So talk to me about creating the name and what that means to you.
Yeah. So, you know, after starting to share my fertility journey and my journey to motherhood, I started to really go on this self-discovery journey of like, what are the things that I truly believe that I am, and what are the things that I'm truly holding on to, and like what is at my core that I want to continuously carry with me. And I think one of the biggest things was authenticity. I think that for me, it's so important for me to not only be honest with myself first and foremost, but to also be honest with others. And that was part of the reason why I started sharing my journey. And I wanted other people to feel seen in their duality. I wanted other people to know that, you know, you are not just one quality. You don't possess just one quality. You don't carry around just one emotion. In any given day, we probably have a range of like 100 different feelings and emotions, maybe more. Mm. And, you know we have tens of thousands of thoughts, you know, at any given moment, like so many things are flowing through our minds. And all of those things are what make us who we are. And I think all of those things deserve to have space in the room. And so I wanted to start to have these conversations with people where they felt seen, and they also, you know, didn't feel like they had to be confined to like these titles that the world had given them. I think for me, you know, bringing my journey full circle to, you know, this point now where I am a host and, you know, I am a soon to be mom, and I have all of these other things and aspirations that I want to continue to go after. I think that what I want to continue to take to each of those things is me, all of me. And so Dose of Duality was really birthed from that. It was birthed from this like feeling that I wanted everyone to feel like they could just be truly 100% who they are at any given moment, and they didn't feel like they had to sacrifice pieces of themselves to be seen. And so, yeah, that's really where the title came from. I've been having some really incredible conversations with just so many people that I'm inspired by, and I can't wait to see where their journey takes me.
For anyone that's listening at home right now that feels like they can't be who they are, maybe out of fear of rejection, we talked about that, or fear of the unknown, fear of being judged, what would you tell her?
You know, I think that it can often be hard to just look within, and it can often be hard to just sit with self, but I think it's one of the most important things that you can do is really just take a moment to discover who you truly are and what you truly stand for. I look back at my life and it took a while to get here, but I'm so happy that I'm here now. And I think that the things that I experience are just so much more fulfilling because I get to show up as exactly who I am unapologetically. And I hope that the people that are listening to this podcast are, you know, being inspired to show up as they are. And you know, we all have flaws, right? And none of us are exempt from feeling darkness, and none of us are exempt from feeling the light. And so we get to hold both of those. We get to hold beyond just that. And it's important for us to go on that journey of self-discovery so that we can be at that place of peace and we really can just like live just beautifully. I love the name of your podcast too, because I'm like, that is 100% how I strive to live, is like, I just want to live beautifully. I want, you know, my kids one day to remember that their mom just went after whatever it is that she wanted and really stayed true to herself and wasn't afraid to just let herself be seen. And so, yeah, I think that's what I would say to someone.
That's so beautiful. Thank you. During some of your darkest moments, how did you hold on to hope?
I heard you talk about that a little bit in one of your episodes. And to be honest with you, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I didn't hold on to hope. Sometimes hope wasn't within reach. But I think those moments were just as purposeful as the ones where I was able to hold on to hope. And I think that we don't have to lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that like we always have to look through this optimistic lens, because that's not necessarily realistic. I think that in those moments where I just needed to sit in the tub and cry, and in those moments where like I just needed to scream to the top of my lungs, I just allowed myself to do that. And I allowed myself to be so present in that moment that it carried me to the next. And so, you know, one thing that I always like hold on to is I heard this this quote by Jeremy Pope, and he was talking to, I think, his therapist, and his therapist was saying, you know, when you look at like a monitor, like of your heart rate, right? It's going up and down and up and down, but it never stops doing that. And if it were to stop doing that and it flatlined, what does that mean? Well, there's no more life inside of you. And so that constant up and down, is what we have to hold on to continue to live. And so in those moments where you're down, you get to know that there's going to be an up again, because you're still living. There's still life in your lungs, you know? You still have that opportunity to go up from being down. And so, yeah, I think I just, in those moments where I do feel hopeless, I just allow myself to feel hopeless, because that's real and it's life. It's a part of my journey. It's a part of my story, and it's how I got here.
Going back to your relationship with your husband, for anyone that's listening that maybe one of their relationship is suffering during one of their struggles, whether it's a fertility struggle, whatever they're going through their life, and they notice that there's a little neglect on their relationship, how did you repair that with your husband? Like, did you connect and say, hey, we got to do something? Or what was that beginning like? What was that first step?
Yeah. Well, my husband and I have invested quite a bit of time and energy and money into therapy. And so we have this amazing couples therapist that we love so much. And I definitely have to credit her with a lot of the assistance through that time. She was really there for us and, you know, allowed us to just like develop a better language between each other. And like we really leaned on her during that. I think we also leaned on our friends and our family, and we allowed them to support us. And, you know, we let people in that we felt like we could trust. Because for us, you know, those were the same people that were surrounding us on the day that we took our vows. And those were the people that promised to keep us honest and to keep us together or keep us feeling supported so we can stay together. And so, yeah, we really just leaned on the resources that we had. And that was really important for us.
One of the things that you talk about was words that mean love. Can you share some of those words that mean love to you and anyone at home?
Yeah. I've got so many now. Words that mean love. Family. You know, honestly, as I think about my journey, like my fertility journey, I think that support was a huge word that meant love for me during that. I know that I heard in one of your episodes that there were people that had given you little like trinkets. Like I know you talked about the winged necklace and things like that, like the little things. Like that was my love language, was the little things. A friend just calling and saying like, hey, do you want to just go get ice cream? Like after I had had an appointment, or like, hey, like, you know, do you want me to come over? And like, if Jimmy wasn't home, or like things like that, I think like the support meant love to me. And I think right now, like life, creating life is love for me. I think it was a product of love, or is a product of love.
Mountainous love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Up in the mountain.
Yeah, literally, right?
Oh my God. Actually, Bella was made in the mountains.
Was she really?
In Whistler.
No way.
There's something in like the cold.
Yeah.
Something.
Everyone, if you're listening, go to the mountains. But yeah, I think like, you know, there are so many things that throughout life like mean love to me, but those are things that I'm holding on to right now.
What are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling an immense amount of joy today. I'm loving just sitting with you and being able to have this conversation and this deep connection with someone that I know has just been such a warrior and really has pressed through some of what I found to be my darkest hardships. And so I just admire you because you have been a lot of that source of hope for me. And just even watching you in the distance, like, go through what you've gone through, and, you know, even in the things that you've just shared personally with me, like, I just am in awe of you and I admire you so much. And thank you for also just sharing with me.
Thank you, you too. This is nice. I think you should stay till 6:30. She has a dinner at 7:30, everyone. So I was like, how long can I keep you?
You can keep me until 6:30.
Yes. And I just like hanging out with you. Like, even just seeing you, I think it's just like magnetic.
Yeah.
Like, you and I could be on the other side of the room from each other. And it was just like,
whoosh. Yeah. Yeah. I always felt that. I always felt that. And, you know, it's interesting because, like, back in like Pop Sugar days, mm-hmm. like, I just remember like looking at you and like being like, like, I can't believe. And then you were just, no, I'm serious.
I went right up to you. I was probably
no.
Smothered you.
You really did. You just came right up to me and I was like, oh my gosh. And she's really nice. Like, I just remember being like so excited that like I got to meet you, but you were just like full of just so much love.
I feel like I picked you up and spun you around.
You probably did. But like, I don't know,
contain myself.
But also don't. Aww, like, yeah. I think that's what makes you you. And I think that, like, that's why that magnetic energy just existed between us.
Thank you. Do you have a mantra that you go by? Because earlier you said, you know, you show up. So do you have a mantra that you just show up with that you can share that maybe someone could hold on to?
Yeah, it's honestly my favorite mantra. And it's a quote by Arthur Ashe, and it says, start where you are, use what you have, do what you can. And I know that I can always do those three things. It can apply to anything. And so, like, some days, starting where I am and using what I have looks minimalistic, and I'm not doing very much, especially, like, these days. Like, I've, like, been put on, like, a modified, like, bed rest, so I'm restricted from, like, working out. And that's been really hard for me, like a bit of a struggle because I'm so used to being able to move my body. It's like been this thing where it's like, yeah, like that's what it's just what I do. It's like, you know.
I'm like the opposite. Someone's like, be still. I'm like, all right.
Well, I'm looking forward to
how
that.
How long do you want me to chill for?
I mean, I hope that happens to me. But like, you know, now I wake up and I like tell myself, you are creating life. Like, you're doing a lot. Mm-hmm. So, like, I have to keep reminding myself that I'm doing something because I am so active.
I'm just going to text you and be like, chill.
Yes, please do. Like, literally just text one word.
And you're in New York, so I know. That's even harder.
It is. It really is. And then get out in the city for a day and you're like, oh, I'm like, I have to do this and this and that. And all of a sudden I have a list of errands when I was, like, supposed to just be going to do one thing. But, yeah, so that's been, like, a bit of a challenge, but like I keep reminding myself same of that same mantra. It's like, start where you are. Okay, today I'm really tired. So like, this is what I've got. I've got like practically no energy. What can I use inside of me to like do all that I can today? And maybe like doing all that I can just looks like me getting up, making myself some food, and going to sit on the couch and binge watch Netflix. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've got. And also, like, I have to keep reminding myself that same thing of, like, you're creating life. Your body is doing a lot that you sometimes can feel and sometimes you can't. But, like, acknowledge that, like, you are doing so much. And, like, you have done so much to earn this time where you get to relax and rest and put your feet up. And, like, you don't have to be going so hard, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. I love the permission.
Yeah.
I love someone saying, like, hey, you can sit down for a minute. Mm-hmm. It feels good.
Yeah.
I have like 100 more things. So we're going to have to do a part two.
Okay.
How do you live beautifully?
Mm-hmm. I live beautifully by honoring myself. I live beautifully by living authentically. And I live beautifully by living in love.
That's so good. Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks for coming over.
I know.
This is so special.
It was. It really was. And thank you for having me. This was wonderful.
So many prayers and
thank you.
Be thinking of you. And
yes.
And your makeup looks amazing.
Courtesy of my baby sister, Bobby.
She's here with us.
Also my bestie, yes.
Earlier when you were just like, you know, we have flaws. I was looking at you. I was like, no, you look pretty flawless, actually. really great brows. I'm going to need a brow tutorial.
She's like, I got you.
Thank you both, actually, for coming over. This is amazing. On a Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. Where can everyone find you and follow your journey and just love on you?
So I'm on socials everywhere at Deja Riley. You can just go to DejaRiley.com and find out all things about me. And then my podcast, just go to doseofduality.com.
Incredible. And I'll link the one with the meditation because that was beautiful.
Oh yeah.
Friend.
That was my live episode.
Yes.
It was so just like, it flowed perfectly that night.
It was amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into Live Beautifully today. I hope you loved this episode and that you feel empowered, connected, and of course, inspired to live beautifully. Make sure you subscribe so you're the first to know when a new episode comes out. I love seeing your reviews and hearing how this podcast is making a positive impact on your life. So if you haven't yet, I'd love for you to leave a review. I read everything from you and it means the absolute world to me. I'll be sharing your reviews and stories on Instagram at Katrina Scott. Also for Ask Me Anything episodes, literally anything, text me on my cell at 213-205-3604. 213-205-3604 with anything you'd like to talk about. Title your text AMA for Ask Me Anything so I can look out for your message. Thanks again for tuning in and sharing this with your girlfriends. I cannot wait to chat soon. Let's live beautifully together.